A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. It's my joy on behalf of the congregation to welcome all those who may be worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. We pray that God will minister to us as a church, but also as individuals, as we bring our joys and even our secret sorrows unto him. The call to worship.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 18, reading verses 1 to 6. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Let's join in our first hymn, hymn 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Let us pray. The Lord is King. Let the earth be glad. Let coasts and islands all rejoice. You that are righteous, rejoice in the Lord and praise his holy name. Eternal God, creator of all life, the energy behind the vast material universe, we praise your holy name and we acknowledge you with joy as King and Lord. Since time and space began, the whole created order has borne witness to your power and your glory, but ours alone is the privilege of bearing witness to your love revealed in Christ. We worship you with all the church in heaven and the church around the world. Praise and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might belong to you. Almighty God, the Father, whose wise, loving providence directs the lives of men and women, we thank you and we praise you for your great goodness to us. We thank you for beauty and strength and stability in the created world around us, for light and color and the rhythm of the seasons, for the daily gifts of home and food and work, for the people who bring us joy, and for all the interests and talents that you have given to the human race, we thank you. But above all else, we bless you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our light and our salvation. It is from our life in him that our lives derive their meaning. It is in his truth that we find hope and confidence and joy. We bless you for his Spirit with us always, even in the times of doubt and suffering. And we thank you for our membership within the church, his body. May our gratitude find true reflection always in the way we use your gifts for his own sake. Lord God, we would not dare to come before you as of right. You are pure holiness, pure love, pure good. We are self-willed creatures and we cannot even live within the light that you have held out to us. But since in Christ you have declared your love and mercy to the world, we come in full assurance of the faith and ask your pardon for the failings of this past week. We recall the wasted opportunities now in the silence of our hearts. The good intentions that were not fulfilled. Our insensitive speech. Our lack of discipline and dedication. And we repent of any hurt that we have caused and all the help that we have withheld. All these we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Courage, brother, do not stumble. And next hymn, 513.
Hello? Can you hear me? Great. Can we invite all our children and young people to come up in front, please? Right, guys, could you sit on the stage? Could you sit on the stage for me? Go sit on the stairs. I'm doing children's address today. Some of you might not have seen many young people or children last weekend because we were away. So I would like you to stand up if you went to camp last weekend. Oh, okay. And stay standing if it was your first SU camp. Okay. We actually had 16 children and young people come with us away to Lendrickmuir last weekend. Great, you guys can sit down. Okay, now I'm going to ask you guys a little bit more about camp so we can tell the congregation. What was your favourite part of camp? Okay, shall we say, what's your favourite activity? What was the best thing you did at camp? Get down, what did you...
The archery tag?
Archery tag. Okay, does anybody know what archery tag is? No, can you explain a little bit more about what archery tag was? You just shoot people. So archery tag, it's kind of like dodgeball and archery put together. You get a big foam bit at the end of each arrow and you go into two teams and you try and get the other team out. It's quite fun. It's good fun. I asked the young people when they went in, how did you get on? Are you looking forward to it? I go, yeah, I'm looking forward to shooting others. And I came out like, and I asked some brothers and sisters, didn't I? I go, how did you shoot your brother and sister? I go, yeah, loved it. It was great fun. Great. Anybody else, what was your other best activity at camp? Sure, yeah. Social games. Now, what is social games for the congregation?
Games, social.
Games that are social. Great. What are some of the games that we played? Werewolves and potatoes, didn't we? Yeah. So werewolves kind of like mafia, so we're in a big group and we just have a bit of fun together. Yeah. What else? What was the other best activity that we did?
I really enjoyed archery.
Actual archery, not archery tag?
Actual archery.
We also had archery at camp. And any other activities? Emily, do you want to share one? Well, yours is archery tag as well. That's great. Cool. And what was the other best parts of camp? Who enjoyed the food? Yeah, hands up if you enjoyed the food. What was your best meal or best part of the meal, William?
The last lunch we had cake.
Last lunch, it had sticky toffee pudding. If you ever go to SU camp, sticky toffee pudding and banoffee pie are the two best ones you can get. We had sticky toffee this time. Anything else? Yes? What's the first one?
It was all the sandwiches.
It was all the sandwiches and soup, wasn't it? It was really good. Literally all the sandwiches. You could have, imagine we had all the sandwiches. Great. And does anybody know what we learned about camp? Can anyone remember what we learned? I know Annie had a good answer earlier on. Do you want to share? You did two verses now? Okay. Yeah, we learned how involved God is in our lives. Emily, Annie said before we came in, it's like, God is our superhero. What was our theme? Does anyone remember our theme? Superheroes, wasn't it? And then what was the teaching was about transformation. So God, Jesus, we looked at all different superheroes. We're all after superhero names, weren't we? Our groups were. And we looked at how God can transform not just our physical selves and people in the Bible, but can transform our hearts for him. So when we invite God in, he can transform our hearts and he gives us the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? Yeah? And the Holy Spirit helps us with our walk of life and we learned a little bit more about the Holy Spirit as well. But yeah, that's what we learned with the Holy Spirit. I'd led the teaching on it, so I would like to share a little bit if that's okay. You guys can keep me right if you remember, yeah? We said the Holy Spirit is kind of like electricity. We expect when we turn on a light switch or charge our phones overnight that our phones will be charged when we wake up, don't we? And when we switch on a light, we expect the light bulb to come on. Yeah, like, but we don't know the inner workings of the electricity. We don't know where the wires are going. We don't know how it's going to come in usually. We don't know what's in the wires to make it all go right. But we know it's there. We know about air, don't we? How do we know about air? Does anybody remember? What's the effects of air? We breathe it. That's a good thing. What else? Yeah, we remember it wind, Danny said. So wind as well. Feel it in our face. We might not necessarily know all about the Holy Spirit, or that sometimes we might not even know it's there by seeing it, but we know the effects from it. So when someone who's a Christian believes in God and has the Holy Spirit in with them, we see them change from the inside out, and actually they also start to change people around them and the communities around them as well, and that's how we know the Holy Spirit lives in us as well. Yeah? Does that make sense? Did I get it right? Did I remember well? Yeah! Good. Cool. Shall we pray for our children and young people, if that's okay? Great. Father God, we just thank you for everyone who is here today, all our children and young folk who have come out the front bravely and to share some of their answers. We ask that you'd fill them up with the Holy Spirit and be with them today as they go in to do more teaching with the Sunday Club and Youth Seekers today. We ask that you bless them from time away at camp. And if they've not recovered yet, it took me a while, that you would help them recover as well. And we pray as we go forward today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. I don't know what the next song is, Amos.
Song is Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. But before we do that, I actually have a wee job for the children. Now, children, in times past, we've had birthday blessings where we invite any child who's had a birthday recently to come up, and all the adults sing to the children. But this Sunday is a very special Sunday because you, the children, are getting the opportunity to sing a happy birthday to an adult. And the adult that we're going to sing it to, his birthday is this very day. And his name is Chris Cameron. So, Chris, do you still have your microphone on, yeah? So, tell everybody your name.
I'm Chris. Uh-huh. Don't know.
And Chris, what do you do?
I'm the youth worker here at the church.
And Chris, can you tell me what is the best and most exciting thing about being a youth worker?
I get to serve these lovely young people week in, week out, and see them grow in their faith.
Well, I think that's marvellous. I think we're going to have a prayer for Chris. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you have inspired so many people to bring Chris to work with us over the last few years, and we hope for many years more. Father God, I pray that you bless him in his work, and you bless him personally, you bless him and Katie as they're setting up their new home in Newport. But Lord, most of all, I pray that through Chris, that you will provide shower blessings to everyone in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we're all going to follow the words. I'm hoping that we may have the words, we may have snow. We sprang that on the team, so we're just going to have to learn the words, but we have the tune. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Thank you. first reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah. It's chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. Old Testament reading, prophet Jeremiah, chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The New Testament reading. It's from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. New Testament, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. The rights of an apostle. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of your holy word. Amen. And we're now going to sing together a hymn which is taken from the Psalm 139, a beautiful psalm, and it's hymn 97. O God, you search me and you know me.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations came to an end recently with Senegal winning the title for the first time. And Senegal won the trophy by beating Egypt at the penalty shootout after a 120-minute goalless draw. Commentators and those of us who watched from the comfort of our homes agree it was a tough final in which both teams did so well, but that Senegal was the better team in most aspects of the game. They passed the ball well or better and showed great strength and resilience. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon were unfortunately dominated by the Pharaohs of Egypt and kicked out at the semi-finals of the games. When the Cameroonian team captain, Vincent Aboubakar, was interviewed after the semi-finals match, he remarked that there was a lack of commitment, of determination, and even of teamwork among the Cameroonian players, and that is why they were beaten. Those who run or do other exercises and those of us who are generally interested in sports know what athletic training is all about. It's about discipline, perseverance, and fitness. Now, whether we enjoy sports from the comfort of our homes or at the sidelines of a tennis court or football field, or a solitary jogging trail, we turn to the verses in 1 Corinthians 9 with a plethora of experiences and even emotions ready to interpret Paul's athletic metaphors of faith. But Paul in this text is imagining something analogous to our current sports culture, but not something exactly the same. To Paul, the apostle, the Christian life is a contest, a crown, and a contrast. And he begins at verse 24 and 25a. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. In other words, you must discipline yourself if you want to win a race. Now, friends, just outside the city of Corinth, Greek games were held, and they were famous indeed. At the time Paul was writing, they even overshadowed the Olympian Games, and the Corinthians were proud of these games because they were the chief glory of their city. Paul drew on this important athletic event to illustrate how we should live in view of the judgment seat of Christ. Run, he says, urging the believer to get into the race, to try to win, to train to win. Christianity is not a spectator sport, or if it is, we are not spectators. Other eyes than ours are watching. We are the contestants. We are all in the race, like it or not. The great thing, once in, is to win. And not all will win the prize. Try to win, Paul says, And to win, we are to give in all we have. We are to train to win. We are to be temperate in all things, that is, to exercise self-control and self-denial. When a person enters an athletic contest, he or she goes at once into vigorous training to get the body trimmed, weight under control, and build up the muscles, lungs, reflexes, and endurance. Athletes restrict their diet and deny themselves many good things in order to keep fit. So a program of strenuous physical exercise guarantees success. And so the question to us is, how can we hope to win if we Christian people do not put ourselves into a disciplined program of daily preparation for usefulness to the Lord? And then Paul sees a crown. Now those who run do it to obtain a corruptible crown made of perishable material. And Greek athletes would go to great lengths to win such a crown. We see the same thing today as we watch many different games. And the prizes awarded for outstanding and extraordinary feats of skill and endurance are medals, medals which do not last. And this is where Paul sees a contrast, because we run to obtain an incorruptible crown. While the crowns we long for in this life do not last, Paul's eye is on that coming day when the Lord will reward those who have been overcomers in the race down here. And so after his illustration, Paul now closes with an application at verses 26 and 27. He speaks of himself and his own goals and ambitions. I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Paul was in the arena with a clear understanding of the conditions and the object in view. He knew what he was up against. He was determined to be a winner. He made no apology for his desire to win the prize. My dear Christian friends, how are we running this race of faith? Many Christian people take a casual, indifferent, lackadaisical attitude towards the Christian life. We are often and easily distracted. A shower of rain is all it takes to keep many people at home. A cottage at the beach can occupy our whole summer. A concert, the chance for a free game of golf, is all it takes some to divert from the things that really matter. And many times we are not in the race to win. All we are doing is playing games. Paul was in the race to win. He was also in the ring to win. So I fight, he says. Paul was in the ring to fight. He had no intention of beating the air. This was called shadow boxing. No, indeed, Paul was up against a diabolical and determined enemy, one who would do all in his power to deliver a knockout blow, to achieve his everlasting goals and not regret at the end. For not doing so, Paul needed to do one thing, to discipline his body, because most of our temptations come through bodily desires. There is need for constant moral and physical discipline for Christians if we desire to win the crown of life. In the book, Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth by Richard Foster, some of the disciplines Christians can engage are outlined. He speaks first of inward discipline. which is meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. And then he talks of outward discipline, simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And then he talks of corporate disciplines, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. Dear friends, we must proclaim the good news of Jesus to share with others a taste of the kingdom of God right here and now, bearing in mind that the radical path of faith is not easy, but demands us to persevere, to endure, to push past our weariness as we approach the finish line. We must keep in mind that the reward that awaits us is not a medal that is displayed one day and then sold on eBay the next. Our reward is eternal and intangible, yet vividly present now. Run, fight, and win the battles of this life against all that deters you from following the right path of righteousness towards the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Great Father and Anna, good God, we thank you for your word that comes to change, to transform our lives and to direct us. Thank you for reminding us that we are in a race, the race of faith. And help us, O God, to run this race with perseverance, looking to that crown which awaits us after the finish line. We confess for times, O Father, when we have not been able to discipline ourselves in running this faith, this race. Forgive us and bring us back to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Your hand, O God, has guided our next hymn, 511.
Thank you.
Let us come together before God with our prayers to dedicate our offering and our prayers for others. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, these gifts come of your free mercy, for all things are yours, and what we have comes from your generous nature. Accept these offerings we have made, and grant that gifts which can never be worthy may yet be honoured by your blessing and used in your service, through Christ Jesus our Lord. In our prayers for others, we pray for the church, that the power of Christ's resurrection may give us vision and perspective for our lives and the courage to live for God each day. For growth in faith, that we may recognise our need for God in every part of our lives and deepen our trusting reliance upon God, who provides all that we need for life and wholeness. For new sight and insight, that we may not be blinded by comfort or privilege to the struggles and sufferings of others. For discernment, that we may see beyond the false answers of consumerism and prosperity, and recognise that we will only find the true fulfilment of our hungers and desires in God. For all who are persecuted or suffering for their faith, that they may have the strength to bear the burdens of the day and be convincing witnesses of the new life given by God. For an end to the violence and the exploitation of the poor, that God will raise up those who are exploited in slave-like working conditions or caught in human trafficking, and heal their wounds and lead them to a new life. For all who are grieving, that those who have lost loved ones, their health, employment, or freedom may know the presence of God, who wipes away all tears and who brings light into every darkness. For national leaders, that God will give them wisdom in addressing the issues that challenge society, free from self-reliance, and inspire them to work for the common good. For refugees, that God will lead them to places of safety and help them to build new lives in communities that will welcome their gifts and talents. For the protection and renewal of the earth, that God will inspire and guide us as we strive to be good stewards of the air, land, and water which God has given to us. For all who are sick, that God will restore the sick to health and help all to get good sleep and strengthen all who care for the sick. For all who are suffering, that God will guide the homeless to shelter, the hungry to food, and the abused to places of safety. For our church locally and wider, that the steady easing of restrictions encourages more to return to our worshipping together, and that the future of your church is driven with you at its heart. As a focus for our prayers, we think specifically of the political and military unrest in Ukraine and of Afghanistan, where the worst drought in decades has left food reserves desperately low, and now the country is in the grip of a freezing winter. Lord, we know you hear all our prayers, and for that we thank you. Amen.
If you are able, please rise, let us together affirm our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close as we sing 514, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching Us to War. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.